Hey guys, it's Doctor Who, and we are living life to the extremis. That's right. We're talking about the episode Extremis, season 10, episode 6 on AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, it's Doctor Who time. The chat is already mad at me because of that pun.
I mean,
that quickly.
It was a pun.
Did exist.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us at AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show. I'm your terrible joke-filled host, Zach Wilson. You can find me and yell at me for my puns at that Zach Wilson all across the internet. Adrian Snow and Dave Child, unfortunately, couldn't join us this week, but we got Brianna Phipps filling in.
Hey, guys. Find me at bphipps14 on Twitter and Instagram, bphipps1214 on Snapchat.
And the always stalwart, always ready to put his boxing dukes up.
Got my dukes, I'm Tori Miller. Yo, you can find me at Tori J. T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
The weirdness got to the end of the table this week. Usually it's Dave and Tari in the middle going like crazy.
So
and then me and Adrian.
Adrian.
Me and Adrian on the outside like, what's happening?
It's like 10 minutes of just Dave and Tari going on.
Pretty much.
That something sounds about
like
right.
That. Yeah. The best show.
Yeah. Looks like your, the chat is also asking you why.
Yes, Tari. Florence Flowers wants to know why, and it's because I can.
The only reason to ever. Which I actually feel like is also an explanation for most things that happen on Doctor Who. Why, Moffat? Why? Because I could. But I feel like just diving into tonight's episode or last night's episode, I feel like if that's all the reason, like, great, because I dug this episode in a big way.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Like, I didn't see I guess you can call it a twist. I didn't see the turnaround happening.
It was a twist. I would say a twist is appropriate.
Which I really enjoyed. It also, I really enjoyed it.
I just love having an episode this season where we kind of get some more familiar faces from past season.
Yeah. It is it's tough when they, like, move on a lot from the past cast, and, like, while we all needed a companion shift, it is nice to see Missy again. But seeing Missy was great. I think the stuff that they revealed with Missy was great. Maybe we didn't need to wait 6 episodes to reveal, since we pretty much got it in the pilot of this. It was called the pilot.
Yes.
That was appropriate.
Right.
We got it in that episode. Like, we knew who was back there. So 6 episodes to string out that mystery is a lot.
Yeah.
But it worked. I'm not mad.
Yeah. I liked the lead up to the reveal. I'm sad that it wasn't something else in the vault. Because
what did you want to be in the vault?
I wanted it to be literally anything else. mostly because we called it so early and everyone knew that it would be the master in the vault. I wanted it to be something that we hadn't seen before. Something that we saw like in super early seasons of like maybe Matt Smith times. Like I really wanted
even
it to be something.
Yeah. Or even it had been John Sim master. That would have been a twist and
right.
surprise over Missy. We knew it would be Missy in there.
Yeah.
Well, she'd been gone for too long. She needed to make an appearance again.
It also just it added up that, like, what would the Doctor have locked away? And then,
I mean,
like,
that, but
with
Time
Lord technology and...
I just feel that any time the Master is gone for, like, okay, it's been about a season and a half, time to bring the Master back.
Yeah.
They always kind of do that.
But that said, the reason for her being in there, I loved. I thought that was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, like... Somebody out there determined that Missy was too dangerous to the universe and the galaxy, to everywhere, to live. She's caused wanton destruction over multiple worlds,
mm-hmm.
not just as Missy, but as the Master before her. And it's one of those things, like, when you have people that believe in the death penalty, like, whatever you think of it, when people do... It's always a calculation of, like, okay, what does it take for this person to live, what is the... To kill them, would it save lives? Is it right to kill them? And the doctor asks that question.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it makes sense that, like, these interstellar executioners would single out the master.
Right. I mean, but... So, we get this moment where, essentially, the doctor saves her. And that, to me, means that, like, anything wrong that she does from this moment forward... Like, it's on him. Like, so if he ever fails his oath and what it seems like he might pull her out to help him, like, anything that she does that is evil, like, he's now responsible for it.
I would say that was true before, though, because she's saved... He has saved her
at multiple points.
Yeah, many times. So I think it's already on his shoulders.
I think there's a difference between, like... letting someone live, I'm making air quotes behind my computer, and, like, essentially stopping someone's execution for wrongdoing. Like, he's circumventing the law for his own beliefs or his own, like, means, which I don't think is correct.
That's fair.
Correct.
I guess, is this the Shadow Proclamation? Is that what these people are?
They never
explained. Yeah, he always invokes the Shadow Proclamation, and I'm like, is that these guys?
Yeah, I would assume so.
Are they part of that whole thing?
Yeah.
Because they are if they are the law, like, that has to be what they're carrying out.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it was fascinating to hear, like, how complicated it would be. Like, they've had to learn to kill all kinds of beings, but Time Lords are the most difficult. Because,
we have to calculate that we have to kill both your hearts, also cut off this thing to your brainstem, also.
Yeah,
we lock you away for 1,000 years in a box with your dead, lifeless body.
I thought it was... Didn't we establish in Series 6 that all you had to do was, like, kill a mid-regeneration?
Yeah.
Moffat.
I mean, but we have also established that a Time Lord can be brought back even once they're dead.
Yes.
So, like, when 8 died in that crash, and then the witches brought him back and then gave him his new regeneration to the War Doctor. So, like, even if they killed her during mid-resurrection... Like, I'm making finger guns. Don't judge me. Even if they killed her mid-regeneration, there's still that, like, piece that means that she could come back.
Yeah, don't forget, the Master was like, goo at one point in the Doctor Who movie with the Eighth Doctor. So anything's possible.
Yeah.
The Doctor's also, like, the only Time Lord that we are aware of who has been, besides the Doctor, who has a second set of regenerations, besides him.
Right.
Well, that we've seen, yeah.
Yeah, that we know of.
So, Billie Jean Girl says that she hopes they're not the Shadow Proclamation because they were really wussies, basically. and I would agree. Like, they all hightailed it real fast.
Yeah, I mean, he just, like, basically said, look how many times I've died.
Well, I don't think that they would be the only people. Like, I don't think these are, like, the cops. They say that they're the executioners. So whoever, because it would be the,
They weren't even the executioners. They were the standbyers while he was going to execute her. They were the bystanders.
Well, they established the execution, but there are, like, specific rules about killing a Time Lord that I guess the Time Lords negotiated with these people.
I mean, it is kind of true. Like, it's kind of like killing an endangered animal.
At this point.
Yeah. It is.
Like, oh, there's,
like,
only,
highly
there's
endangered
only two
animal.
Of these birds, and now one's a male, one's female, but this one
but
bird
murder.
Did something really bad, so we should... I don't know.
Well, yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
That's a really good point.
If one of the last tigers in the world, like, mauled someone, they would definitely put it down, though.
I don't know.
I think it would depend on which country or city.
We would put it down.
I don't know.
Harambe.
I don't know. I don't know that we would. Although that does establish, like, if we go with that line of thinking, then we have to, like, push the Doctor and Missy. We have to start shipping them, at least in, like, a zoological, like, facet. If we're going down that
rabbit
hole. I
don't ever want to imagine them two being shipped together.
I don't know. I think it'd be really angry sex. I think it'd be really interesting. there'd be, like, a lot of I hate yous in there, just, like, in the middle. It'd be great.
Regenerate mid-coitus.
Ah, wouldn't that be insane? He's like, is it big enough for you? And then he regenerates and he's like, how about now?
Closes her eyes, opens them, and it's a different person.
Ah, the slash fiction! All of it!
The chat is only just now realize, like, catching up to us because there's a slight delay.
Yes.
So I'm loving that, like, no, Tari, too far! Too far! Don't ship them! And then Samuel K. Adai, oh, damn, you're right.
I know.
All right, that may have gone too far.
Okay, guys, I don't know where lines are. I just.
But Doctor Who, there really are no.
Personally,
lines.
I don't think we've crossed it yet. Yeah. But anyway, let's get back on track.
That wasn't part of the episode.
I did love Nardal. He was showing great up here, this and like this is so. This is the second time that the Doctor meets Nardal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the first time that Nardal meets the. No, it would be the second time for both of them.
Yeah.
And he says that he followed him there from Deryllium, where he was with River. Because, reminder, Nardal was River's companion first, which is great.
I also just loved the stuff we got with Nardal and Build this episode of them traveling.
Mm-hmm. They were great. Just point of clarification, because I got confused. Deryllium is the planet with the singing towers that he and River had, which is not to be confused with Delirium, which is like some kind of outer space archive that Matt Smith's doctor went and visited at one point.
Yes, that is true.
I had to like Google and make sure I had the right one. So I was like, wait a minute, he followed him there from there? That's all kinds of confusing.
Captions, man. You gotta keep them captions, baby. They'll never lead you astray.
Yep.
Except for when they do.
And yes, Chris, the monk. You ask for a priest, and Nardal's just like, "I've got this book. It's kind of a Bible.
Think and about it's it. Diary.
Yeah, yeah." And like
aren't all Bibles diaries.
I mean, I guess you could aren't technically all say. I guess
if chat aren't all Bibles diaries. Okay, I'm gonna let you keep. I'm gonna let you keep going. I just had to make that joke.
But yeah, but let's Let's go back into the actual like plot line of Extremis. Unless you guys had anything more on Missy, we can come back around to it, of course.
Nah, keep going.
Look, because this was a mind F of an episode.
Yes.
The twist was well structured, well paced. Like it surprised me, but it didn't feel like at first I was like, what? How? Why? This makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
How far back are we going?
You went through the five stages of grief.
Yeah. And then I started negotiating. I was like, all right, well, how far back is this going to go? Does this mean, are we going back to like last season that we've been in a computer simulation? Is Matt Smith still the doctor and this is a simulation all the way?
Oh my God.
If so, I might be on board for it.
I was about
it,
to be you'd be so happy if it went back to the fact that Matt Smith was again the doctor.
I mean, like, it would be one of those things where I'm like, oh, but I like Matt Smith, but like, that makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
And then Clara would be the companion again. No!
Or maybe we'll go all the way back and it'll be Tennant and Donna again.
That'd be fun.
That'd be nice. Originally, I thought the simulation started when they entered the library. Because that's when we first saw the first projector. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I could see it starting there. Like, once they passed that threshold, then essentially they entered into the simulated world. But it started at the like credit sequence, which I thought was really well done.
Yeah,
because there was no way for you to know when it had started, other than the fact that him putting on his glasses in one place and starting in another place was a thing.
Can we talk about him in the blindness for a second?
Yeah.
Yes,
because we are. It was a big part of this episode.
Is it wrong of me to kind of think that Stephen Moffat and Capaldi maybe just did that so he could wear the sunglasses again?
They're bringing the sunglasses back. I love them.
You don't like the Sonic sunglasses?
I don't mind the Sonic sunglasses. It's just that was part of my thought process. Was like, I wonder if this was like actually thoughtful storyline, or if like Capaldi was just like, can we make me wear my sunglasses again? And they're like, how do we do that? All right, let's make
I know I saw some people in chat that felt that it was, they don't like the blindness.
I think it goes on for too long, it'll get
annoying, because yeah. There's just extra steps, like having Nardal like narrate things.
Like by next episode, he'll have to get his sight back.
I disagree.
Really?
The thing I like about it is that it actually makes me feel uneasy, because so there's this concept in improv where if the players on stage feel uneasy, then the audience feels uneasy. And so, like, they can't trust you enough to laugh. And I feel like usually we can always trust in the doctor that he'll come through in the end in some way, shape, or form. But now we can't really rely on him as much, and so it like adds so much more stakes and like I guess threat to everything that's going on.
That's true. I mean, the doctor is an unstoppable force at this point. Like, we've seen him solve it. Like he says in the last episode, like, my ego's gonna be really big when I come back from this one. Mm-hmm. When he has like 5 minutes to like save them all from killer spacesuits and like lack of oxygen, and he does it, but he might not.
Yeah.
Now, like, there's a legitimate chance that being blind could impede them from succeeding.
The main thing that I like about the blindness storyline is the vulnerability that it gives him. Like, mm-hmm. him not wanting to tell Bill that he's blind, because it does make him appear more weak, or that he can't handle things, or can't necessarily help them in every way possible. Like, so I do like the vulnerability, because I like it when the doctor does have, like, those kind of moments where he's, like, takes a step back and realizes his own kind of mortality in certain ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the stakes of it got erased, but I appreciated the use in the moment of the reading device that gave him his eyesight back temporarily. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's borrowing from his future. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe my next regeneration will be completely blind, or I could lose all my regenerations. And he's just like basically like gambling.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything anymore. But
I mean, he might use it again. He might use it in the real world. The
fact that device exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So someone in the chat, Andre Drew, was asking if we could explain the projections
within the sunglasses.
No, the or like the world the room projections, of portal, oh, yeah.
portals, oh. which look so perfectly like the blue portals from Portal.
Yes, they do.
I appreciated it, especially in concert with the Super Mario reference.
Mm-hmm.
So the portals were essentially, it seemed, the way for whatever these space, I don't want to call them space monks, because we've had monks before.
Well, they're
in robes.
Yeah, like they're monks. In cardinal robes. So, like, they're space cardinals. Spartanals.
The Spartanals.
Spartanals.
The Spartanals, until they're named, they are now the Spartanals.
Yeah.
The Spartanals, I guess that's their, like, access door to this simulation, to like see how it's all unfolding, and they seem to put portals in the most important places around the globe.
Right.
They put it in the Pentagon, the Vatican, and CERN. So like seemingly like the posts of some of the biggest pillars of our society, the biggest religious like physical place on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest scientific places on the planet in CERN with the Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
And the Pentagon, one of the biggest law enforcement places on the planet.
Right.
So I think the rest of them probably went into like other, like one of them maybe opened into MI6 and yeah. like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. And so essentially you could say that it's like we would have a computer simulator, but it just is on a larger scale.
It's like level select,
yeah,
at the beginning of a video game.
So I have here's my issue with their plan. The one thing that I don't understand is in these simulations, they essentially put in a book that says, this is a simulation. And they also intervene by having these little portals. And I don't understand the purpose of either of those things.
I don't think they put in the book. I think they ran a simulation that goes back, like, far to see, like, how everything unfolded.
Right.
And at some point, like, they were letting the simulation play out, and maybe they didn't account for this piece, that, like, somebody became aware, wrote this book, and hid it under the earth in the Vatican within the simulation.
Okay.
Because everyone's behaving autonomously, except for the random generated numbers. So, Pope Benedict the Ninth, I think, was the one that would turned out to, there was a female pope.
Yeah,
that the doctor was close with,
and she looks just like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, that was super weird. Angelina Jolie, yeah. Time traveled and became the pope.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Hey, you know,
she's a humanitarian.
Actors gotta take TV roles now. Sometimes you never know.
I look forward to that episode, Moffat. secretly, that's the finale. Angelina Jolie.
I thought you were going to say Angelina Jolie is just the new doctor.
No.
first American and first... No.
No, I'm not about that. not specifically Angelina Jolie. So that was my interpretation of it, was that, like, it was just somebody within the simulation discovering it and stowing away this secret.
But if they restart the simulation every time, then that book, they'd have to have deleted the book. Like, I guess I don't understand the purpose or the, like, reasoning of the book.
I think it's like, I'm trying to think of what a good analogy would be. So it's like inside the Matrix. Like if we just utilize the Matrix. And it's not going to be a perfect analogy, but... if, like, Morpheus had gone in, or, like, when Morpheus first was awoken,
yeah,
if he, like, had stashed a book, that still happened in the simulation. Theoretically, if they knew about it, if, like, Mr. Smith knew about it, he could go in and delete it. But I think the idea is that this is such a massive simulation with a million, like, billions and trillions of things that are happening, they can't track every single one. And this was so hidden that they weren't aware of it. And they had to, like, go into the... Maybe it's, like, more complex with it when you do the simulations. They can't just, like, delete the code. They have to go in and remove it.
Okay.
From the world.
So then we're assuming that the main variation of this time around in their simulation is the addition of this book. That we're assuming that the existence of the Veritas is the catalyst that made this different from all the other simulations.
I actually didn't think that. But that's possible. Okay. My thought with it was just, like, that probably happened in every simulation, where they're trying different... I think the idea is they tried different... It got past this. It got to the point where they were trying to... They tried... they simulated invading in the 40s, and it didn't work. They tried invading in the 80s. It didn't work. They tried invading via... like, coming and dropping into Los Angeles didn't work. Tried coming into London, didn't work. And this, like, they picked out this plan that supposedly in a simulation, because there have been many simulations at this point, this is just one of them,
right,
has worked.
But the main purpose of the book in this episode was not even the purpose of it, but the book essentially caused everyone to become self-aware in the simulation. So essentially, in their real plan, like, when they go to invade the Earth, it won't be a simulation. So there'll be no cause for everyone to kill themselves or, like, anything of that sort. I'm just trying to talk through the purpose of the book, and it confuses me. Unless at some point. Unless maybe they've been doing this since the time of Pope Benedict, and, like, then Pope Benedict wrote this book because she had run into the aliens, knowing aliens exist because of the doctor, and maybe that was the reason, but I just don't understand it outside of that.
Okay. All fair questions. I don't know how much. I don't know if I can, I mean, like.
No, looking at the chat, it looks like other people were also confused.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally just trying to talk this through to understand. We're all bouncing stuff off of each other. Chat, tell me what you think. What you want, girl?
I mean, I think with Doctor Who, sometimes I just accept the fact that I don't understand what is going on.
You're right. Inevitably with Doctor Who, there are always questions. Many times they do not have answers. In this case, this is obviously a multi-parter. I think this is the three-parter that they've been talking about.
This is the first part of three?
Yeah, they had said there was going to be a three-part episode this season. I believe this is it. I don't know that for sure.
It's the middle, so it would make sense.
Yeah. Well, it's either the middle or the final three.
Yeah.
Is where it's appropriate.
The chat's asking if Nardole and Bill are dead.
Because
they didn't kill themselves.
Yeah, Nardole and Bill, the virtual Nardole and Bill are gone.
Yes.
But real life Nardole and Bill are totally fine.
Yeah, when they dissimulated inside of the simulation, that their real selves woke back up. That's in my head what happened.
Well, I don't even think their real selves were knocked out.
Really?
I think the idea is the simulation versions of these are completely disconnected from anything going on the Earth. The only reason that the Doctor is aware of it is because, like, Dr. X, and I say that only because that's how he signed the note, sent an email via Sonic through their computers to himself. Like, everyone else is just, like, these are just, like, basically recorded copies of themselves. It's not like The Matrix where they, zapped them into it.
Right.
I also just want to, mention how fast, Bill has just accepted the fact of dead bodies now. Because it was just a few episodes ago where she was, freaking out about death and seeing dead bodies and seeing people die because she'd never seen it. And then, she walks into the president's room. She goes, "This the president?" And she just is so unfazed by it. I'm just saying.
I mean, maybe...
She's around the doctor. She's just like, "Well, this is part of my life now."
Yeah.
Maybe after, being chased through the Vatican by monsters and a dude shot him. I guess
you get being chased by dead people in spacesuits and
seen a few more dead
bodies.
Being chased
by wood lice and
yeah, she did watch all of her friends die and then come back to life. So I mean, what's a dead body?
Yeah,
here or there.
What did you guys? Let's talk about Bill for a second. What did you guys think of Penny? That whole plot line. It was there for the very beginning and for the very end.
Yeah. I thought it was really cute. Also, it felt like, from Penny's perspective, that she was essentially walking into a trap. Like one of those Pray the Gay Away traps where essentially she's going to get pulled into this room and they're going to try to exercise her demons.
If a pope ran out during one of your first dates... And you know that the religious standpoint of what they think of a gay couple would be, what would be your reaction?
God that was the simulation version of Penny, because if that was the real one, she would have so many problems going forward, never accepting herself or who she truly is. If the first time she goes on a date with a woman that she's attracted to, and she's like, "I don't know, people are against it, maybe probably her family has problems with it," and the Pope walks out, starts yelling at her in Italian, and then there's a room full of cardinals and a weird police box, she'd be like, "All right, I'm asexual now." She's like, "I'm out."
I really liked them, their little date, and I thought they were so cute together and stuff. I'm just waiting for the episode where Bill is fully just, "This is who I am," not skirting around it with people.
I don't think she's skirting around it.
Really?
I think they're just
the person in the beginning, because she was "I'm an adult, I can't have a person here," and then that woman was all "No, you can't."
Oh, with her foster mom or whatever it is. Yeah. I think that it would be great to see that come.
That's what
ahead.
I'm saying. Yeah, I want her. I'm waiting for the episode, because it's gonna happen. I know it's gonna happen at some point.
Yeah, they're building it up. I think they've handled it really well. The fact that Bill is gay and they've put it into plot lines, but only because that's the character. So of course it's a part of her life, and it's a big part of her life. But it's never about that in a way where it's like, look at it, look at how accepting we are, which is like a trap that a lot of shows fall into these days. It's just like, it's a facet of who her character is and what her life story is going to be.
Yeah.
It's clean.
Side note, Kristen Schwiebert. Yep. I think that's how I pronounced that correctly.
We've guessed all the times that you've been in here, Kristen. So
Schwiebert.
Forgive us.
Says the TARDIS didn't translate the Pope in Bill's apartment, which I also found weird.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
The TARDIS didn't translate the Pope anywhere.
Yeah.
Which, like, theoretically, I think this is a Moffat rule hole, which I guess I'll call it. Instead of a plot hole, it's just a rule hole. Where Moffat basically just decided it's more interesting to have the Pope yelling in a different language.
Yeah.
So it's not, the TARDIS doesn't do that right now.
Yeah. I also felt like it could have been planted there as our first clue that it wasn't the real world. Because there's a chance that, like, these aliens don't know everything about the Doctor.
That is a good point, that this simulation just didn't know that facet of how the TARDIS worked.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have, it would have been cool if they had tied that in, like, as a clue that they were.
Yeah. I just have less faith in Moffat to, like, know his own policies. Because I think, the person I was watching this with, I was like, can't the TARDIS do that? I'm like, Moffat. that's my answer. But once you know the truth, it is a reasonable.
Just like the TARDIS lies, Moffat does what he wants.
Moffat also lies.
Not the TARDIS. Doctor lies. That's what I meant to say.
Yes. I know you meant.
TARDIS also lies. You know.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, Jacob Albert says it might be a sim glitch.
Like, yeah.
There you go.
There's reasonable. Once the reveal is there, there's reasonable excuses that they may or may not, that may or may not have been on purpose. But that aside, just like the whole digital self plotline, again, it worked. It worked for me. We'll have to see where it goes, but I'm on board for the ride. Do you guys have any other thoughts on extremists and the plot line here?
I really am looking forward to the second part because I want it all to come to a head. I like place setting episodes, but I also really like seeing all the pieces fitting together.
Yeah.
So I also really liked that scene at the end where the Doctor was talking to Missy through the vault, like basically saying like he needs help, and that like we were talking about vulnerability earlier, and I really love vulnerable Doctor.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, he needs somebody who can destroy an army with the wave of her umbrella. That's what she had last
yeah, she's kind of Mary Poppinsy.
But by the way, Tari and I, you were talking about this before the show.
Yeah.
Were you about to go there?
Yes, I was.
Well, I'll let you take it.
Sydney Goodrich says, what was Extremist the name of exactly? And so, yeah, we were talking about, because the Extremist isn't just like a Doctor Who specific term, like it is a Latin phrase. For
in Latin, it translates to either in the farthest reaches or at the point of death, which I think both are appropriate. This is they make specific reference in the episode. Virtue is only virtue in extremis.
Mm-hmm.
So what that would mean, virtue is only virtue at the point of death.
Right.
So like it's basically like, it's only truly virtuous if you're still willing to do it even when you will die and not benefit from it in the slightest bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what it refers to. It has nothing to do with crazy, I'm going to heal you and make you super powerful technology, which is what I know it from, which is Marvel and Iron Man. Nothing to do with this.
Yes.
But yeah, that's where extremists comes from.
Yeah, and I like that being the through line for the episode, which reminds me that I'm just listing off things I like. I really liked that moment when Missy says, like, I'm your friend, with no expectation, no something or other, no hope. Like, I like that because in the end, they are friends. And we talked about that a little bit at the beginning of the season, how, like, through everything they've been through, they are friends.
Yeah, I mean, there, it's almost like a brother, like brother sister relationship now, where it's like no matter what it does, at the end of the day, you're family kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's like what they are. It's like I can try to kill you, but at the end of the day, we're still friends.
They are, well, especially as like in at least until Gallifrey like truly reveals itself, the last Time Lord's like in this plane. They are in a sense brother and sister.
Yeah.
So it's tough for, I think it's hard for the Doctor to see, even though they're enemies, like this is his oldest relationship mm-hmm. in existence since literally they were kids, like actual kids.
Yep.
I mean, unless Susan is still alive somewhere on Earth.
But even then.
Oh yeah, true. No, sorry. You're right. Because of kids.
And he's also just spent more time with the Master, like over the years, like battling him/her at different points in their history. Susan has been away for the last however many years,
50 something years now.
Yeah,
no, it's somewhere closer to like 400
in their time. Oh, yeah,
more
in
sorry, our, even, in our, no, even
at
more.
Least 1,000.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I'm just thinking in terms of our time.
In our time, yeah. Yeah, I guess it would be 1,000.
Yeah.
Because I think the Doctor was, what, 1700 when the series rebooted in 2005?
I believe so.
And now he's 2,000. The 2,000-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
Ken is asking the Doctor's daughter, granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
Yes. Yeah. What happened to result in him having a granddaughter? Where are his children?
And
family and wife? First wife, all those things.
Yes.
We don't know.
He killed them all on Gallifrey. I guess
we assume
time locked them all in Gallifrey.
I mean, there was always kind of that thought during the one episode with the two women that cover their faces. I can't remember what it was with the Master in that one as well. Back with Tennant, that was like either his granddaughter or some relation to him.
Mother was the theory at the time.
There was a lot of theories.
The Doctor was 200, was 900 in 2005.
Yeah.
Thank you the alley-oop, Sydney.
Yeah.
He has aged a lot over these past 12 years.
He aged the most in Matt Smith's years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was stuck on that one planet.
Yeah, so when he was stuck on the planet, also when he...
The end of time. They just said the title of the episode I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
When he like died, quote unquote, and they had to like work backwards, but he was actually like in the blah 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 astronaut. What is it called? The insert name astronaut.
The impossible. No.
Impossible astronaut. Yes, that one. He aged a bunch during that saga as well.
Yeah. And then there's last year's Heaven Sent, which, well, I don't know whether you want to count those million years or not.
I don't think we do,
but they existed, so it's very confusing.
Right.
Much like Don't Ask Us Which Number Dr. Capaldi is playing. All right.
2.0. Duh.
That actually is the cleanest answer. but even that is like requires so much explanation and qualification.
Yep.
Ignoring that, why don't we talk about what we're thinking as we look forward to next week's episode and get into some predictions?
Yeah.
That was loud.
Thank you. I'm a hype man. Look at me hyping, man.
It's just in my ear.
Oh, should I get?
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Next week's episode, the Pyramid at the End of the World. Nice, simple, not confusing at all title. No, next week's episode...
How many times will we be at the end of the world?
Many times. We've been there a lot. We'll be there again. It's not going to stop anytime soon.
Which is crazy, because the world is round, so there's technically no end.
No, it's like... Well, this is Hitchhiker's Guide style. When you say the restaurant at the end of the universe, mm-hmm. it's not at the physical end. It's the time end.
Ah.
Yeah. Because the world's about to be blown to hell.
Sad.
Actually, no, not hell, because we already went there. couple years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyway, the preview for next week's episode looks awesome. Like just dropping a pyramid into the world. This is going to be the most coordinated attack on the Earth. So I have to imagine we're getting unit involved, probably like different countries' armies, like, and the Doctor will be at the center of it. And then, like, how much do you guys think he's going to involve Missy?
I hope that they ride in back to back on tanks. Like, you know, Doctor loves tanks, so I'm hoping that
with the guitar,
yeah, duh. And like the waves, the sound waves from the guitar are essentially what he's using to battle the aliens, and they all start thrilling.
It turns out they're like Venom in Spider-Man 3. Just like, we just gotta make loud noises at them. That'll save the day.
Totally.
Isn't that the plot point of a couple different films? Like, just make a loud noise and it fixes everything.
Yeah. Probably.
So one thing that the Spartanals say is that like mankind will die it by its own hands.
Yeah.
So like one could assume that it sounds like they're going to turn us against, and by us I mean all the humans in Doctor Who's universe, against one another in some way, shape, or form.
It could be that they have plotted to have Missy do it.
And is that? Do you think that's like why the execution? Like they knew that she was going to be doing something like this, or do you think it was just all of her past, or do you think it could have involved her future?
I think both. I think that if they're running simulations, they probably know Missy's on the planet, and they have simulated what it would take for the Doctor to let Missy out. Or it could just be this. I think it would be really interesting. It's like they could be behind like planting all the nationalistic seeds. But like over the last like several decades or centuries, dividing people more and more into factions, so that when whatever they do happens, humans blame each other, and go to war with each other, causing either nuclear fallout. We don't know what they're here for. They might not be here for necessarily the living resources, so a nuclear fallout might be in their best interest.
I mean, it could be humans against humans, or it could just be manipulating the humans, like how in the episode earlier this season, where they just can't listen to the Doctor and are trying to start a war with the robots, and which would have killed them. Like, it could be even something along the lines of that, because that's something that's a reoccurring theme in Doctor Who, is just not listening to the Doctor and going to our own devices anyway and almost destroying ourselves. I don't think Missy will come out of the vault next episode. I don't know. I feel like it might be a few episodes. If this is the three-part story arc, then it definitely, I don't think, would be into the third part that she'll come out of the vault.
He has to be driven to that point. Mm-hmm. Maybe he keeps her in there and is like using her as like a brainstorming session. Like he goes in there with a whiteboard and is like, "All right, so if they do this, how would you react?"
I like to feel like inside the vault, it's like Hannibal Lecter type stuff. He has the piano in there now, so like Hannibal Lecter had his like art supplies. She has the piano, like, and it's like a glass thing, and he's just sitting outside talking.
Glass with like tiny air holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
With a
"Hello, Doctor."
With the big mask over her mouth. I am very excited to explore more of Bill and Nardole together and their relationship, because I think that their chemistry is really fun to watch.
Everything that Nardole does, like the more we get from Matt Lucas, the more in I am on his character. Mm-hmm. Like I already liked him as an actor. He's a great like comedic performer. And like Nardole has been a fun character, but like every episode they drive him into a much more like combination of like badass but like lovable doofus.
Yeah,
like I loved him and Bill in this episode. Like I know it was the simulation version, but when he's like, I'm kind of a badass, and he's like swaggering. And Matt Lucas is like the least badass looking person.
I love the fact that the first time I saw him, I think, was in Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like I've seen him in like so many things since then, but he's such a recognizable person.
I think the first thing that I can remember seeing him in was Bridesmaids.
I think Alice in Wonderland, then Bridesmaids after.
Right? Yeah. Because I didn't see the Alice in Wonderland.
He was Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah. I don't need to see those. Yeah, I'll keep watching. I'll keep watching him as Nardal.
Yeah, you don't need to see him.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought those were great. Like those were great moments from him. And I'm looking forward to seeing more from him and from Bill and the Doctor and Missy as we go forward.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. Now that we're officially halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Also, I predict Bill gets Penny. She like gets her.
Yeah, you get real it, Bill. Good.
She deserves.
You get it.
She deserves to have just somebody. Like,
not me too. I agree.
I mean, I agree.
We all deserve someone, Tari. I also deserve someone.
You do deserve someone. And you guys deserve to have us wrap out on a non-crazy note, but it's not going to happen. Thank you guys so much for joining us here for the Doctor Who After Show at AfterBuzz TV. I have been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me, and again, feel free to yell at me for bad jokes or just tell me better ones. Like, come on, just help me out here. All over the internet at that Zach Wilson. You can also find me on the Leftovers After Show, or if you're still catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we just did the finale last week. And we might have some. We do. We just have to figure out scheduling. We were challenged. The fans met the goals, and now we will be doing some weird fan fiction about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point when we can figure out scheduling for that. And my sketch team, Turncoat, you can find us performing here around the Los Angeles area. And if you are a subscriber on Geek & Sundry, we just did a live show on Gather Your Party on Friday night. And you can see that on on twitch.tv/Geek & Sundry. It was ridiculous.
Basically, you can find him everywhere.
I'm all over the place.
Ooh.
You guys can find me at bvibs14 on Twitter and Instagram, bvibs1214 on Snapchat. Thank you guys for having me this week. You'll have your normal hosts back next week.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. It's TariJay. Also, it is the season finale of the full DC slate. Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, all of them. Season finales this week. Catch me there. I deserve someone, and you deserve to keep watching these shows.
Yeah, and your dating profile is where?
You can find me on all the sweet, sweet dating profiles.
All right, guys. This has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.